Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, developers, and all software people who want to create best quality software. My name is Richie. I'm a software quality coach, author, and keynote speaker, and happy to bring you an episode live from the HUSTEF Conference 2025 in Budapest. HUSTEF is one of the greatest conferences I've ever been to. Top quality talks, amazing people, and that unique mix of friendly and intense atmosphere you only find at truly great events. If you have ever get the chance, go there. Seriously, you will love it. My guest today is Henry Terro. He is a senior consultant with a broad experience in regulated industries. And also he is very passionate about AI and quality assurance. And that's what we talked about. How can we build trust into the AI world? How to deal with all the AI agents? And how can we deal with testing and quality in the AI era? And now, enjoy the episode. And one more thing before we go on. Over the last 25 years, I've seen a lot of testing projects. Some went great, some went sideways. And the difference was rarely the tooling. It usually came down to a handful of things teams got right or didn't. So I sat down and wrote them up. 7 success factors for software testing. It's a free ebook and it's now available in English too. And it's not just something to read on the couch. It's a workbook with exercises so you can check where your own project stands on each factor. If you want to have a look, you'll find it on tul.fm/ebook. The link is also in the show notes. And now have a good one and enjoy the episode. Hello, Henry. Nice to have you on the show here.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. It's really good to be here. And all the cool props and everything that you have, it's great.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Zilla said to me, you have to invite Henry. He was in episode one, I think, of the podcast.
Okay.
And now when he says, I have to invite someone, I will follow that.
I have to thank Zilla for that.
But I also saw your talk, so I know that it's worth that you are here.
I think it's very, very fun that me and Zilla did the talk together because we kind of had this like old testing, maybe young AI. I'm not that young anymore, but still kind of like we had a nice rapport going on, and we're gonna do this again a couple of more times, so it's gonna get even better. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was it was a great topic because it's so important now. You talked about AI agents and especially about the trust thing. Let's go into it. What's the problem?
There's a lot of problems, I think the main ones are kind of like the same problems that we have with humans and with everything else on there. But now, because it's an automated system, we really have to solve these problems. Because of course, when you do it automated, you do it faster. You multiply your mistakes and you multiply your successes. So now building systems where we can actually trust into the AI in the same way that I can trust my colleagues and everybody else is very important. And I think that. Now with the current AI systems, we want to talk about systems and not just the models. Mm-hmm. That you want the system around the AI model to be that source of trust. Mm-hmm. That you have a process, you have checks and balances, you have guardrails, and you have a lot of the stuff that you built around it. And you kind of go back to basics about, as I said, the Oracle problem and the communication problems that we have. That how do you communicate? How do you clearly communicate what I want? The same problem with humans as well. Now you have to do it with AI. Yeah. And also the Oracle side of the problem is that how do I make sure that the stuff that comes out is actually true or is actually what I want?
Yeah.
So those two things, how to build that. And then if you can answer those, then you have the trust that you're looking for.
That's a problem with humans too, as you mentioned. So, but you say we have to deal with it. Do you have a concrete example? For this problem? How it shows up in reality?
If you think about it, like you ask an AI agent about you take a let's take a generic like ChatGPT or something like that. You say that, hey, I'm a small business owner. I'm doing this in software. Can you make me a business strategy? Mm-hmm. And of course, you get from the LLM, you get the very generic business strategy that what do you expect to be a business strategy? And you have all the points in there and it's nicely done and all of that. But then, of course, that's what the AI model does. It predicts. It only predicts. It doesn't think. It doesn't analyze. It predicts. Mm-hmm. But works magically in that way. Yeah. But like, of course, you get a generic one. It doesn't have your context. It doesn't have probably what you exactly have. It doesn't know what you want. or it might be totally wrong. You are in a different country, but you didn't realize to say it. So, hey, actually, I'm working in Germany, so take Germany into account. Mm. Or I'm working in the Finland, and I'm actually selling to this other country, so take that into account. Because typically, you say when people interact with AI, they kind of use the, hey, fix my code now.
Yeah.
And that's, then they are like angry that, why didn't this work?
Yeah.
But then you get the same experience with developers or anybody else that kind of, hey, the production is broken, fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, it would be nice to know what's broken. Can you get me the logs? Can you help me figure that out? Where do I find out the actual complaint? What was broken? You know, how to write the proper bug report in a concept. So this is the same communication problem now with AI than with all bug reports and all of that. How do you convey actually what you want?
Yeah.
And because as humans, we've filled a lot of those gaps by our experience pretty much. But now, of course, the systems don't have experience and you're not working with kind of pros, but you're going to an AI model, you with the computer.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out that your prompt is good, your requirements are good, and all of this that you're giving to the system is actually good and specific enough so that the system can work. And that's kind of, I think, the communication problems that we have with humans and all of this that we encounter daily in our job. And the other side, I guess, well, we talk about the Oracle problem. How do we actually know that if the thing that we did is the right thing to do? And did the AI model actually output something? And this might get really philosophical if you really dig into this, that what's right in a company context?
Yeah.
Is it just that, hey, my boss asked for this?
Yeah.
That might be a totally valid reason to do it for yourself. Of course, I'll do it because my boss asked me to do it. Maybe not the best idea, but hey, I was asked to do it and that's how I'm measured. So that's where I get my pay from, so I'll do it. Or then the company will make money if this feature works, or something like that. So you see these problems in everywhere.
Yeah,
and how do you build or codify these best practices now into your AI system is what we have to do to build that trust into these systems as well.
And is this possible? Can we do that with the AI systems from nowadays?
I think so. The technology is there. Like, I can give the AI system my credit card, I can give it access to my accounts, I can give it access to my chats, my personal chats, no problem. But somehow I have to trust that the system does good things with it.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Well, Q&A, and testing, validation.
Yeah.
All the like typical tools that we already have. Those ask pretty much the same problem that you subcontract a piece of software from somewhere. How do you know that they've delivered what you want?
You do
end-to-end testing, or you do acceptance testing, or you do some kind of validation that did we get what we wanted?
Yeah.
And then it might fail because you actually didn't deliver the proper specs. So again, communicating wrong things, or that then actually they didn't deliver where you can prove that, hey, this isn't actually what we wanted.
So
the same kind of stuff happens.
Yeah. But in reality, it's. I think it's hard for people to do their Q&A stuff with AI because it's such an fluffy unknown.
Yeah. And I think that's also part of the problem seen now with AI, that I might be talking really technical about AI, that I'm talking about how the matrices go and how the probabilities calculate, and somebody's just talking about, hey, I asked my AI for a recipe for a cake, and I got it. So when you talk about AI, it's currently really hard to know at which level are we talking about it and how does it impact me or what's going to happen. And I think that's, we also talked a little bit about that, what's holding us back is a lot about the fears and what do I fear? Do I fear making mistakes? Do I fear for my career that AI is going to take my testing career or something like that out from me? And those fears are now, I think, in the dominant mode kind of like now that first because it's a big change. It's huge, and that's why I think it's interesting, but it's totally natural to be afraid of that level of change.
Yeah, that's true, because it's a huge impact into all of our world, and especially testing and QA.
But I think it's going to raise up QA to be like much more important than just programming.
Well, what do we have to do additionally or special with AI what we are not doing with our software nowadays?
Good question. I think it comes down a lot to repetition and doing when you think about software testing, it's typically like very, what's the word, like you input something and you always get the same answer. What's the word for that? It's deterministic.
So
testing is easy because, well, software should be deterministic, and if it isn't, then you know you have a problem. But with AI models, of course, being non-deterministic, you have to kind of like shift your thinking in testing also to not running like, is this green? No, you're looking at over time. You're looking at trends. You're looking at like mean time between failures. It's the same thing that machine shops, airplane, like these kind of guys do, that they're not looking at just one point test in a sense, but yeah. they are looking at trends. So I think that's also going to change a lot on how we look at testing, that we just cannot run a single test, say it's okay, and then go for it, because there will be black swan events type of stuff that happens in all of these models because you cannot predict it.
Yeah.
And also, of course, because the one thing that we really have to think about is not just about the testing and validation, but building of these systems, is that the models change underneath because companies update it.
Yeah.
And how do you manage a system where the components constantly yeah. keep changing? So you yeah. have to figure out some kind of stability and yeah. something to actually deliver something.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think that's a real change also in how we see software testing, because typically, beside all the safety stuff,
yeah.
We have this case where we just see our expected result. It's green, okay, we check it. And this doesn't work because the quality is another quality now.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to
that's
check
true.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe even like the separation between validation and testing, kind yeah. of that, what's going on. And I think terminology will evolve as well on what are we talking about, to facilitate that we can more clearly indicate what are we even testing or what are we even doing here.
Yeah,
I think that's
yeah.
going to be an interesting change in the field as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, as you said, it's going to be, I think it's going to be much more about BDDs, much more about TDD stuff, because that's the one that, how do I write down what I actually want
yeah.
in a proper way, make that into some kind of acceptance criteria, and then basically that, because I think code is going to become more and more black box,
yeah.
because you just let the AI generate an application for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the only source of truth is basically your test and spec.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it passes that thing that you specified, then it's fine. Then the software, I think, is fine. And without looking into the code.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea that you mentioned that BDD and TDD, because often it's just used as tools to get something done with the testing or test automation. But to use it in reality, it is something that we get the same understanding what we are doing there. And as you mentioned, we have to do it with the AI too. We have to get the same understanding, and it's not done by a two-sentence prompt.
No.
So we need more information that the eyes know what it should do. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's going to be one of the big things also that's going to change, is that we are going to have maybe too much spec in the beginning, because everybody's going to overreact. We are going to write huge spec,
yeah.
and we are going to end up in the same problems that we now have with code, that we have millions of lines of code. We are going to have millions of lines of spec, yeah. which will probably be conflicting, and maybe the systems, that's why, behave in strange ways, and you're going to start debugging, I think, your spec more than your code, actually, at this point. So that's also going to be, I think, an interesting change, that the abstraction level rises quite much at that point. So can I even... Because how do you write spec for, let's say, Salesforce? It's a huge system. Yeah. Please write me open that, what should this system do?
Yeah.
Just write it open.
Yeah.
I have no idea how yeah. I could do that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. But I think people get annoyed about that, because we want with AI, we want it all very fast and
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
And,
just give
and,
me. Yeah.
And now I have to put a lot of information, have to write down all the stuff and put it into AI. I think the people don't like it.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah. it's the same. People don't like work.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like work. Yeah.
not everything. Like, exactly. That's yeah. the, of course, if I can just say to my development team, hey, fix the problem. And
yeah.
then I just go get coffee.
Yeah.
Of course, that's better. Than, hey, I figured it out. It's this and this function in here. I found out that this is the part that's actually problem. Can you fix this one and maybe change it to be this way?
Yeah.
This is more work than the first option.
Yeah.
Of course I want the first one.
Yeah. I think that's a good shift in the view. How can we get it into our teams, idea of doing that?
That's a really good question, but I think it's also somehow naturally happened a little bit, because in my career, doing programming, doing stuff in university, and now testing and quality a lot, I haven't experienced the kind of things that I've now experienced with AI, that people from, for example, marketing come to me that, hey, you are the guy with AI, that could AI help us with this problem?
Yeah.
I like, that hasn't happened with software. Hey, you are the software architect. Could you help us solve this problem?
Yeah.
That hasn't happened. But now with AI, you get a lot of this like inbound, hey, this is now really cool. We want to be part of it. And can you help us with this?
Yeah.
And that's why I also think that much of the change is going to come not from the like IT. It's going to come from the outside, where the kind of like value is, who don't have this history of writing code or being deeply knowledgeable. My personal identity being I'm the SQL expert. which sadly I think is now going to be a less and less relevant skill set. But like, hey, I'm for marketing. I need this tool to be actually track our clients and figure out what's actually going on, which is much closer to the value is a dangerous word, but I think it's we can be used here that closer to the value creation at that point, that this is the business thing that we are doing and the software is going to enabling that. And now AI is a much more, let's say, approachable enabler because you don't have to know magic runes of JavaScript or Python. You can just prompt it and it democratizes computers. And I really like that.
Yeah. I think this is one big point that now everyone can build software more or less.
More or less.
But quality questionable. Yeah. So we don't know that.
Yeah.
And we as testers, I think one of our main skills why we are testing is we are building trust into software. What do you think? How that changes in the AI world, or how get it more important, or is it the same, or what do you think?
I think it's going to be more important. And it also shows that a lot of the biases that we have. And I'm also doing a little bit of research on my PhD topic about how we actually have done major business decisions just by doing software. Like, because we didn't realize some coder has done major business decisions by, for example, locking us to Azure or locking us to OneDev something like that. Nobody even thought about it back in the day. And hey, great, we got the application done.
Yeah.
But it affects everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing that's going to now happen, that you have to understand a little bit of the business side as well and figure that out. And how do you make sure that in many steps you're building the right things? And again, kind of comes down to making sure that you have some kind of a platform of how to do it so that you have a single source of truth for what your company does. And that's also going to be interesting, that you all have to start writing down what do you think we actually are going to do, because AI is going to be the number one interface. So that's going to be an interesting change. Figuring out how to communicate that to everybody. And everybody like, hey, we have this project AI which knows all the documents of the project. Ask him, ask the AI about all the questions that when you are onboarding, for example. And then on the other side as well, how do we make sure that that's right? We have to build, again, systems on the platform. We have to build some kind of guardrail system to check or do some, like, multiple AIs discussing this, that is this actually a good thing? Well, some of these problems are kind of like, you hear them, you think they're easy, but they're not. For example, you might have a SharePoint where you have 20 different versions of a document.
Yeah.
Which is the right one? It's super difficult problem when you start thinking about it. You need a lot of context. You have to dig out, did we send this to a client? Which one did we send? Have we improved it on afterwards? And how do we figure this out? So it's now surfacing a lot of these problems that humans have solved.
The problems we had already. And didn't so solve in the last decade.
But now that we can solve them with AI, now they are kind of bubbling up to the surface, hey, actually, we have to do something about this.
Yeah.
So I think that's also quite cool.
What do you think, we as testers, as quality people, what can we do today? What can we learn? What are the skills we need? How do should we evolve to get that work?
I think we are in a very lucky position that I think the testing skill set and mindset is, I think, in a very good position for AI. Because that, as I said, it's much more about, hey, what are the criteria that we're actually doing, how can we write this into spec, how can we write this into a test case, how can we verify what we're doing. So that baseline is already, I think, really good compared to many other places in IT, because that's basically the main interface that I think there is to interface with these systems, and how do you design them. And on top of that, kind of like start figuring out how to build these kind of statistical testing systems, just that it's not, you know, make test go green type of a thing, that where you care about the one single test, but these trends and how they go, and how do you not just work as a tester in your own small box, but like expand your skill set in many other places in the whole thing. Because I think testing and validation is going to eat parts of DevOps, is going to eat part of programming as well. So expanding in those directions, I think, is going to be something that's very valuable to you as well. And what we've heard talks here from Rob and many of the others as well, talking that, hey, teach people multiple roles, that will make you a better tester, because then you have more context.
Yeah.
And the same thing with AI. The more context you have, the better it is. So but I still think that, of course, I'm biased because I'm a tester as well. But I think the skill set is already very suitable for the new world.
Yeah.
And that's why I wouldn't be scared. And I think that's the number one fear that I've tried to allay today to many people, that AI is not going to take your job.
Yeah.
They're not going to automate you yeah. it's going to augment you yeah. and the way that you work. And there's a lot of work to be done around this area.
Yeah,
so.
I think that too. It's nice that you have also this mission or this vision for the community. Yeah. Henry, thank you very much
that you
were here and gave us your insights from the talk and from your perspective
how we tested
it. It was really great and I appreciate it. And I wish you a good rest of the conference. It's now sliding in the finish here.
Yeah.
And hope we see you soon at another conference or maybe here next year.
I can advertise now. 4 weeks, we're going to be in Automation Start doing the same thing again. So version 2.0. So the same talk. Mozilla is going to be there. And continuing the journey of telling this to as many people as we can.
Great to hear that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. Have a good time.